This is the Brisbane Football Review with your host, James Coghlan.
The best ideas come about 20 seconds too late in my experience. Scott Owen.
There's a mute button, people, don't worry.
And Adam Pace.
Well, look, I'm going to feel like that, you know, I'm the one who shot Barbie's mother.
Starting now.
Well, it feels like just yesterday we were at Suncorp Stadium for the 2023 NPL Queensland Grand Final Day. And wouldn't you know it, a new season is just about to kick off this coming weekend. So that means it is time for the Brisbane Football Review's 2024 NPL season preview. On the women's side, hello everyone, it's James, Scott and Adam with you on this Monday evening as we are approaching match number one of NPL Women's 2024 here in the Sunshine State. And, well, Scott, we'll go to you first and say, how was your off-season?
What off-season? But no, look, it feels like it was only yesterday the NPL season did wrap up at Suncorp Stadium. It's great to be back underway for season 2024. A couple of pro series games played over the weekend, but league action gets underway this weekend.
It certainly is. Adam, we've been pretty focused on the Raw the last few months. You looking forward to getting back to the local grounds and, more importantly, the canteens?
I am. A couple of new entrants as well, so I can't wait to try out. And obviously as well, annoying everyone else of my allegiance to the new club, Moreton City Excelsior. So,
Hang on. Sorry, which Moreton City Excelsior? There's about five.
Now.
He's doubled his number of teams in the competition. You can't lose now, James.
But in all seriousness, it's good to see the local game back. And like I said, we have a bit of a sneak preview of Pro Series kicking off over this weekend. But we start with the NPL Women's League from this Friday night.
Yes, and so if you're just maybe trying to re-familiarise yourself on how season 2023 ended, Lions won the Kappa Women's Super Cup, Lions won the Premiership, and it was Eastern Suburbs being crowned Grand Final winners, champions of the NPL Queensland with a 1-0 win over Gold Coast United. There was one promotion with Brisbane City coming up into the top flight, replacing Palabar, and in the second place playoff, Olympic defeated Southwest Queensland Thunder to maintain their top flight status. I'll be back behind the mic for Football Queensland once again this season. Very much looking forward to doing all that from the studio down the road. But
this is where we need sound effects, by the way.
What would you be playing
the
here?
The listeners booing you.
All right, it's better than some coaches swearing at me while I'm trying to commentate a game. That's all I'll say. So we've got another full season of coverage here on the Brisbane Football Review coming your way. Our highly rated NPL Sunday show is back as of this Sunday, I believe, featuring Scott and Adam. Or actually, I can't really say those nicknames I normally give out when I'm talking about you to the other clubs. But you two will be back this Sunday night. Scott, you're back in the host chair for that, so I can't wait to hear how you screw up your introduction like I just screwed up mine.
We are back this Sunday, and it's probably the same nickname they give us anyway, James. It's fine, don't worry.
Yes.
Doesn't leave much to the imagination.
Something to do with wit, but I can't remember what the first part of that word is. Anyway, look, we're already going a little bit off the rails. We'll try and get things back on track by going through our club-by-club preview and season expectations as well. And from a general perspective, we'll get into a bit more detail on this as well, but I'm curious to get your thoughts, Adam. It feels like this might not be a season where you're just penciling in lines to have the premiership won by the end of the financial year.
This is what I think is the beauty of it, is that I am really, and I genuinely mean this, I'm really looking forward to this season, I think, but actually in both NPL and also the FQPL Women's one as well, because I think that both.
Sorry, my son's just popped in at the moment, so I'll just get him to say a quick hello. Say hi, Tommy. This is where you're supposed to talk, dude. He's now just giggling. So this is great podcasting.
Hi.
Are you? Tommy, who's going to win the premiership this year? You say Lions?
There you go.
All right. Well,
yeah, I can't beat that.
there is our first prediction on record. Very sorry for the interruption there.
I think we need to just wrap up the show there. I think that's basically that's the show, isn't it? Predictions I made.
I think that's straight to the point. Or fifth appearance. Yeah. All right. Sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, so the expectations for this season. I think East winning the grand final, I think, really threw sort of the cat amongst the pigeons about this season. And you're right, it is not a one-way race or even sort of, you know, even a case of Lions are coming back to the field after probably the greatest dynasty that we've seen in this league for many, many years. It's not a case of Lions are back with the field. The field is level with them, and I think that it's going to be a tough year for Rob Askew to get the best out of that squad to try and sort of, you know, get back to the top. And I think that there's a number of chances, because I think a lot of top clubs have really sort of bought smartly, and I think it's going to be who sort of stays healthy and who's sort of available last woman standing almost stuff. We'll collect the trophies this year.
For sure. And, you know, maybe I'm overselling it just a little bit and talking about Lions, the dynasty maybe being over per se, but, boy, they're still going to put out a competitive team, aren't they, Scott?
Yeah, you can say the dynasty's over. I'll believe it when I actually do see it at any point during the season. But it certainly does feel like that the competition this year is going to be much closer than in years previous in terms of you're looking at the start of the year. I think there's at least five, maybe six teams that could very much have expectations on playing semi-final football games. And unless I'm mistaken, only four are going to make it. So the competition for spots in the finals is going to be red hot. And there's some genuine teams there who have proven in the last 12 months they can beat Lions. And we'll see how it goes over the course of the season. But it's shaping up as a very exciting season ahead.
And I will say as well, like, you've got to give Lions of credit for raising the standard of the competition as well and saying, if you want to beat us, you have to get this good. But I've just got some stats overall as well. In terms of the level that has been set, 122 wins, 13 draws and 11 defeats from 146 NPL matches since 2018, 611 goals for and 131 goals against. So, yeah, how about that?
And you two can keep riding them up, but they only have the league's all-time top goal scorer in Tegan Riding with 225 goals, and the third top goal scorer with Megan McGilligan with 122. So they've got plenty of proven goal scorers there between those two. So they've still got plenty of quality players, despite the players which they've lost, which we'll get to later.
For sure. All right, well, let's get into our team-by-team preview as well. We have reached out to clubs for interviews, but full disclosure, with the three of us having lives outside of this podcast, things just got in the way with getting them ready in time for this show. So we will probably release them as a standalone episode and maybe air some of the best bits on the NPL Sunday coming up in the next week or two. How does that sound for both of you? Yes?
Sounds like a plan.
Cool. Live production as we're recording.
We'll certainly talk to all the coaches over the course of the year anyway, so we'll get around to them at some point.
Yes. Let's go through now in our club-by-club preview, alphabetical order. We're going to try and keep this relatively brief. I know we have done these in the past where they've gone for two and a half hours, but I'm hungry. So let's get started with the recently promoted Brisbane City, and it was perfection for them in FQPL in 2023. Pretty much, well, no, they were perfect across the season. Won the grand final over Thunder in convincing fashion. David De Silva is back, and he is not letting this side rest on their laurels one bit. He cleared out a fair bit of the squad as well, some for good reason, like Sean Fryer and Kaya Stevenson going to the Raw. But he's also gone and brought in a couple of pretty solid acquisitions as well. Georgina Worth will take over the gloves from Ernie Sunderland. Jonty Fisher and Tully Heatley coming in from the QAS. Adam, it's going to be a very competitive side once again.
Yeah, I think they're more than just a side that they just scraped in and they're promoted could be a potential yo-yo team. That's certainly not the case for this Brisbane City team. They are a very, very good team as it was. Stephanie Latham, you know, her exploits last year, 54 goals throughout the league. Look, it'd be, I don't know if she's going to score that many this season. I think it'd be incredible to think that she, even a half of that will be a very, very good return for her. But those ins, Gina Worth coming in. Obviously, she had a bit of sabbatical after her A-League Women's day sort of ended at Newcastle. But I think she'll be back. I think she'll definitely do well there, because I think if there's one area that, now, no disrespect to Ernie Sunderland, that City have really strengthened up, it is in that goalkeeper's role. And also, as well, two of the probably the best young players coming through, that's not under contract at the Roar, being Jonty Fisher and Tully Heatley as well, will, you know, really, really sort of, you know, help out. And also that much vaunted attacking line of Steph Latham and Georgia Thompson.
Scott?
Yeah, look, it was a very, very strong side of FQPL last year. They ended up doing the treble when you include the FQPL Champions League on top of that as well. And Georgina Worth only strengthens that lineup, James. I mean, Sunderland was a good goalkeeper, but at the NPL level, Georgina Worth is proven and tested that she is one of the best goalkeepers in the NPL. We've seen that in her time at Capalabar and elsewhere. So she's a very good goalkeeper and only adds to the squad that David De Silva has available to him. Yeah, it's a very, very good squad for Brisbane City. The loss of Stevenson and Sean Fryer will certainly hurt them, but as Adam was saying, that attack was so potent last year with the players they had. They can still very much cover that with the players they have in the squad. They also did lose Ash Hummels as well. I think she's moved on up north to Peninsula Power. So they have lost a couple of players in the attack, but it was an area where they were so strong last year. I think they'll be able to cover that, and the rest of the squad is very much what we saw in that FQPL competition, and I'm very intrigued to see how they're going to go. I think they are a team who could, I don't think it'd be a surprise to see them finish in and around the top four area, but I think that's where they're going to end up. I don't think they're going to be the sort of side to get promoted and then sit at the bottom. They're going to be very, very competitive this year.
Yeah, two things we know about Brisbane City. They're ambitious, and they've got a lot of faith in their youth production line as well. We've seen that across the men's and the women's. So some of those departures, they might have some more 23s waiting in the wings to try and fill out those roles as well, because I remember when we were talking about it at the start of last season, we were all saying, geez, that's a pretty bloated squad for an FQPL title that they should cruise to. And not only did they cruise to it, they did it barely getting out of second gear at times as well, putting 6, 7, 8 past arguably the next best teams in the FQPL 1 competition.
And you can put Heatley and Jonty Fisher right in the spots of Fryer and Stephenson, and they won't lose anything.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to the reigning champions of Queensland, Eastern Suburbs. And this is probably where it would be a good time for us to give a bit of a disclaimer. We are working off the publicly announced signings as well. We know there are rumours going around as well, but out of deference to the clubs, we are opting to say, we'll just go off what's been publicly announced rather than, you know, trying to play kingmaker and get scoops. Or is it Woodward and Bernstein, Adam?
Yes.
There we go. All right. So the announced signings for East have all been retentions thus far. Lachlan Leong is back as coach by the sounds of it. The bulk of that title-winning squad are back in action as well. Sophie Persson, Swedish striker, just ridiculously good. Golden Boot contender, potentially, once again. And Georgie Amos, who I'm pretty sure is actually just a permanent resident of East now. She's just part of the furniture there, a club icon, and plenty of experience and big game potential to call upon, Scott.
They do, and the thing is, now they've got the experience of getting over the line. They're not just the team who've been pushing and pushing and pushing to try and get there. Now they've got there. They've got that experience of winning, and I'm sure that now they have had that taste of lifting the trophy, they'll want more of that, because that tends to be what happens when teams do finally get over the line. They want to experience that again. So I think this East team will be one of the absolute strong contenders for this season. As you said, it's a very settled squad, which gives them great opportunity to continue on where they worked left off last season. And it's a very well balanced squad as well, isn't it? You look at it, the pieces in that squad fit together so well, and that's one of the things that made them so successful last year, is the back line can work really well together. Emma Starr in that midfield really does just make the whole side tick. And then the front third, as you said, they've got some really good attacking players. You mentioned Sophie Pearson. You include Maya Bruckner and Lauren Askin in that group as well. They've got a really well-balanced squad at East, and I think that they're going to continue on from where they left off last year.
for me, the key to East this year, and they're going from the Hunters to the Hunted, is that centre-back pairing of Holly Clark and Hakane Kachenchko. That's the first of many times I'll probably stuff up her name this season. But and also as well, Emma Gibbon, who did spend some time with the Brisbane Roar A-League women's team as well. I think that's the key to it all. I think that if that holds together, they are going to be very, very tough to score on, and I think they've got enough firepower up front as well with Sophie Person and Maya Bruckner. I think that as well, I think they will be right in the mix, and I think their title defence is certainly not out of the question.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in the mix once again. They'll be in that top three. If they can get a semi-final back at Heath Park once again, that's going to be massive for them. Yeah, they're just a very, very good squad as well. I'm just looking at the progression of the last couple of years as well. So 2022, finished third, scoring just 29 goals in the whole competition in the regular season. Last year, they put that up to 59. And as we know in the NPL Women's, you need to be able to score to win games. And that, I think, was a big difference as well. Lachlan Leong had them playing quite open, and I think that's going to be the key for them going forward.
That was still only the fourth highest goal scoring tally in the competition last year as well. The other three semi-finalists all were 60 or above.
Yeah, so that, but either way, that's still a marked improvement, basically doubling your goal tally almost exactly from one season to another. And again, it'll just be going for that sort of competitive push once again. Let's move down the M1 and we'll talk about Gold Coast United. Back-to-back grand finals, was a frustrated Gold Coast United leaving Suncorp Stadium. They came out, gave it as much as they could, and just couldn't find that breakthrough against a stubborn Easts backline. But could they have possibly brought back the key to getting another trophy in the cabinet down at Talabudra? Scott, D. Quirk is back.
Yes, earlier I mentioned players number 1 and 3 on the all-time goalscorers podium in the NPL Women's Queensland. Well, also on that podium is Deanna Quirk with 132 goals for not just Gold Coast United, but South and Palm Beach as well. So, great experience, and to see her back in the NPL after a year back at Palm Beach, I think will be a very, very welcome addition to the NPL Queensland. And you're right, she might be the missing piece for this side in terms of that proven goalscorer in the front third. That was the one thing that was probably missing last year, was they had some good young players in the front third, but they're still developing their craft and their finishing. So having her experience and know-how in the front third could certainly help them and be that missing piece. Maybe, I'm sure in hindsight they would have loved to have had her available for that grand final against East. It might have been the piece that got them back into that game. So having her back in the squad now is a huge boost.
It certainly is. And you think of that difference-making potential that she's got as well. And what I noticed about them last year is they could score when they wanted to, but it was just that little bit too streaky, where I think it was Bronte Rose had 3 hat-tricks in 3 games, and she wound up being potentially their top scorer as well, Adam?
Yeah, no, I think you summed up perfectly that while Gold Coast United, they got quality all over the park from top to bottom. Momo Hayashi especially is the linchpin of that side. But I think the attack sort of let them down a bit. And, you know, Bronte Rose and Kiri Dale basically had to shoulder the majority of the goal scoring work for Gold Coast United. To have Deke work back in that lineup, I think it's certainly going to make them a lot more formidable attacking wise. I think that they'll be, again, I think they're another team that that anything less than semi-finals football is a failure.
Yeah, they said that again. It's another club with a very high bar for success. But you know, prior to East, they were the only side to claim a trophy in amongst the Lions' title dominance since 2019. So, and I'm really hoping now I've got that right. Otherwise,
correct.
Okay, good. You know when you just have those thoughts where you're going, is what I'm saying accurate? Which, you know, a bit different when I'm recording with you guys. When I'm recording with you guys compared to, I don't know, when I'm commentating an NPL match. And Adam, no, we didn't skip QAS. I had them under Q.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Different on their run sheet.
Yeah, I know. This is where I use my executive hosting privilege, I believe, is the title. Scott, you enjoy that too, don't you?
I very much enjoy that on the weekend, but you're the midweek host around here, so you can keep going.
All right, well, let's keep going with Lions. And quite a few changes with Lions. So they've got six players who are off to the and involved in the A-League at the moment. Jamila Rankin, Tiana Karambasis, Cannon Clough, Tegan Thompson, Beck Kirkup, and Zara Kruger, just from their 2023 squad. Ellie Chappell has announced that she's not going to be involved this season. She rehabs a shoulder injury. Canadian defender Callie Cowles is off to Mitchelton. Midfielder Sarah Bonifant is off to Souths. And even with all of those departures, I'm going to just keep one simple philosophy, which is don't count out a Rob Askew side. Pretty simple, right, Adam?
Yep. No, I think exactly. I think it's going to be a challenge. But I think Rob is going to relish the challenge because this is a predominantly brand new side. Some young players that have come in Chelsea Fairburn and Mackenzie Nielsen. I think that from QAS, basically a reimagined defensive pairing. I think the pairing of Jesse Rashard and Libby Sobolski, I think, is going to be a very, very tough one for them. If they can gel as a unit, they're going to be very, very formidable as well. And also the unknown factor of Sam DeBian from the US, from out of Middle Tennessee State. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting season. And I think that, as we say, historically, with the players that they've obviously kept around as well, Lions are always going to be there and about, assuming that everyone is healthy.
Yeah, this is what happens when you are successful, like Lions have been, James. They've had a number of players progress to the A-League, and that's something that should be celebrated, not bemoaned. I'm sure from their perspective, it's a case of they'd love to have some of those players available, but the fact they've produced so many players to go to the A-League is an absolute credit to them. And for this season ahead, they've still got some very good experienced players in that side who will be able to help them with Riding and McGilligan, and even someone like Amy Gunston, who had a few injuries last year, but she'll be a very important part of this squad as well. And they've also got some young players who they gave a lot of opportunity to last year, like the likes of Tia Apo, for example, who probably will be taking another step forward this year in what she brings to the table. So the next wave of Lions are already here, and I don't think they're going to fall that far down the table. You mentioned some of the players they've brought in terms of experience to help round out that group. I think someone like Jesse Rashard at the back is going to be such a huge boost for this side at the back, because losing the experienced defenders that they have lost, having her come in to fill that experience as alongside Libby Sobolski down there at the back line, who can give those young defenders that they do have, and we saw a lot of the young defenders last year, that experience around them can really help them. So I think they're still going to be a very, very competitive team. And if you're riding off Lions from winning the premiership, I think you're crazy.
Yeah, and it almost feels like that late season, the way that last season ended, where they kind of ran out of steam, where some of their A-League players had to leave to go into state to join up with preseason camps and whatnot. It might be a blessing in disguise for them for 2024, where it allowed them to sort of get a pretty good grasp on where some of these young players do sit. Because I'm trying to think, like the Kappa Women's Super Cup final, they had Tegan Ryden coming off the bench, and they had a lot of these young players that like got a bit of unintentional end of season big game experience. So yeah, it's Lions, they're still going to be good. Speaking of teams that might be pretty good, Mitchelton, who I still think had possibly the most dramatic ending to a game in 2023, that July game against Penn Power up at AJ Kelly Park with the indirect free kick to win the match. They've made some moves as well. A few new players, a few retentions as well. But the big one will be coming at the back with Callie Cowles from Lions. Adam?
And I think Callie Cowles definitely fits a need that where I think that fifth placing last year could have easily been finals football had their defence stayed solid. And I think Callie has had a year's experience, you know, at Lions. I think she's ready to shine on her own. I think she will make that Mitchell defence a lot more formidable, because we know that attacking wise, they really can mix it with the best. They just need to find a way to stop giving up goals in pressure situations. I think Callie will be able to provide it to them.
But there are a few new names on top of Cal's as well, Scott.
Yeah, there are. Like Bree Wallace is one who's moved across from East to Mitchell, so that adds another a bit of experience and also winning experience into that group, which could very much help. But I do agree, Callie Cowles at the back for Mitchelson could be a very, very important addition to a defence, which the attack was really good last year for Mitchell. And obviously, Callie Purifoy was there last year, scoring a lot of goals. Carla Wilson came back midway through the year. She scored a lot of goals as well. So goal scoring was never the problem for Mitchelson. It was in that defensive area. And I think that's kind of where Alan Waller has maybe looked to try and strengthen this year, is add a couple of players in the defensive middle thirds of the field that can add to the group, and potentially that might be the thing that pushes them closer to the finals. I will also say it could be a bit of an interesting fight for the penalties at Mitchelton this year, James, because Kelly Cowles did take and score the penalties for Lions last year, so perhaps she might bring that over and also add some goal scoring threat at the other end of the field. But I think this is a very good squad, Mitchelton, and again, they're another team that I think we have to keep a very close eye on in terms of what they can potentially achieve this year, because at one point last year, I thought they were going to run down Gold Coast to get that final spot. They were not far away, so they're a very competitive side.
That they will be. Wow, that sounded a lot more threatening than it was meant to be. But anyway, let's move on now to Olympic. Got a secured survival through that playoff. And there has been a bit of a overhaul there as well. A few notable outs as well. Alyssa Cox and Tonya Marie Rantucci have gone to Lions. Sophia Cuba to Penn Power and Jess Hewitt to Caboolture. But they have brought in a few players. T. Karaluka back from Greece. Pippa Schiavo is back in action as well, scoring in a preseason friendly on the weekend as well. So this is a side that surely has to be thinking we can be a lot better than we were in 2023, Adam.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be a big mountain to climb for them. You know, while they have added, you know, Pippa Schiavo had a very, very solid season finally last season. Tony Karaluka is a experienced player, since spent some time in Greece, but I just question. They've lost a number of players as well down the road to Lions. I think Alyssa Cox is a big one. They've got a couple of young players that are still to develop. I think it's going to be a difficult season for them, but certainly the talent is there. Can they put it together and get the results? I think is going to be the big question for Olympic.
Scott?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. They've certainly got talent, this Olympic side, and they had talent last year as well, didn't they, in terms of the players that they had. You mentioned that the players they've lost are going to be very, very big losses for them. I'm not sure who they've brought in terms of players to replace them at this point in time. So it could be a very interesting year for them. They've got the talent to be competitive in this competition. It's just there's so many really strong sides this year. I think it could be a bit more difficult for them this year to climb the ladder despite the talent they've got.
But also, I suppose as well, they'll be hoping just if they can just avoid getting to that playoff, that's potentially progress as well. And you look at some of the players they've got as well, Anatol Mena, the Trevitt Lyles, players that do now have a season of NPL experience under their belt. It could turn out to be a slightly more stable season at Olympic on both the men's and women's side as well, because they also had the home ground disruptions last year as well, with the renovations and the venue being a Women's World Cup training base. Let's move on to the defeated semi-finalist Penn Power, with Mick Gallo's campaign coming to a heartbreaking end for the team as well. I want to know how they reacted to that semi-final defeat as well, because it looked like they were going for penalties, a goal-mouth scramble, and eventually East knocked them out in the semi-finals. As I think Scott is doing some typing, so Adam, let's go to you and talk about what we're expecting from Penn Power.
Yeah, look, the big question for me for Penn Power is how do they how do they replace the pretty much the spine of that side? Of that side, now I refer to Bonnie Davies, Sarah DiApollonia, Tish Woods, and Liz Harrington. Sorry, my setup, I'm locked in. And how they replace them, I think, is going to be the key to their success, because that is a lot of that's a lot of experience, and Libby Sobolski as well is the other one that is gone as well from that side. So. They've replaced well. I think Jolyane Cruz think brings some experience on Mitchie. Anna Hirakawa was one of the standouts for Virginia in FQPL 1 last year. Sophia Cuba, absolute dynamo on the deb from the set piece as well. And Ashley Hummels, one of City's prospects that has moved up to this fine neck of the woods. But I just think. How they are able to replace those top players, I think that is going to be really how is what power season is going to be. And it may take some time to really sort of, factor in this season. It might be a 2-year project for McGallows.
Yeah, and
24 goals from Bonnie Davies last year, 70 from Sarah DiApollonia. James goal scorers number 3 and 4 on the league wide golden boot tally. How they replace that is going to be the big challenge. Sorry, go ahead.
Basically going to say something along those lines as well. And now with the A-League women's season getting extended, it's not like you can really count on these players coming back a month into the season like it used to be when, I remember, Capalaba would be welcoming back Chapman, Worth, and company as well. I wish I had a third name there, but it's been a long time.
Holly Palmer was one of them as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Larissa Crummer, that's the name I was trying to think of. Yeah, you've got those clubs that can't really say, oh, you'll just miss the first 4 games. Half of them are going to be rained out anyway. So let's just ride out the opening month, and then we'll have a full-strength squad to launch an assault on the title. Now, with the longer season and the grand finals, I think, being set for early September based on the competition calendar FQ put out, you might not be getting these players back until... or getting these players in until early to mid-April at the absolute earliest, by which stage you're already 9-10 weeks into the season. So you don't want to be leaving yourself such a big hole to overcome.
As we saw last year as well, you also might not keep them for the business end of the season either, when the A-League Women's pre-season does get underway. But back to Peninsula Power, I do think that the loss of the experienced players they had lost to Sapulski, Davies, DiApollonia and Tish Woods, it is a big loss for them. I think Liz Harrington and Adam said it as well. So that's basically the spine of that really successful Peninsula Power team have moved on now. So that's how Mick Gallo goes about replacing that, and how quickly he can get the new players up to speed in the way he wants them to play will be very, very interesting. They're one side I'll be looking at closely over the first couple of weeks of the season to see where they do fit in the pecking order, because last year obviously they were neck and neck with East the whole way for a top 2 spot, and yeah, they lost in very, very disappointing circumstances for them, but they were right there the whole way. It's just how big of a loss are those 4 players, because 3 of them are in the A-Leagues now, and Libby Sobolski is a very good player as well. So how they replace those is going to be very, very difficult.
If there's any coach that can recognise female talent, it is Mick Gallo. So that's from a positive standpoint. I think the window may be closed as far as I think, and certainly Power as well. They've got some very, very good young players also coming through. Sienna Powell, especially, I think another season, 17 years old, she certainly will progress, and she'll be a much better player this year. And amongst a number of other under 23 players in the squad. So Power, it's going to be a tough season to replace those experienced players, but they're one I'd be watching, especially sort of later in the season.
Yeah, they might be one of those ones to get off to the slow start. All right, now we're going to move on to the QAS, and with QAS essentially being an academy program, exempt from relegation, we really haven't heard much about their squad other than the players that have been announced by other clubs. Mackenzie Nielsen and Chelsea Fairbairn to Lions, Tully Heatley and Jonty Fisher to Brisbane City, and Grace Kuilamu went to the Brisbane Roar, and she will be missing this season, even if she was able to come back because of an ACL injury suffered. Scott, yes?
Yeah, in round 2 of the A-League Women's, Grace Kuilamu, who had a great start that season, picked up an ACL injury. And look, last year was a real success for the QAS, wasn't it? In terms of the, yeah, they finished towards the bottom end of the table, but they were highly competitive when they had their full squad available to them. The amount of times they really did challenge the top teams in the competition and take points off a lot of teams was very, very impressive. But this almost feels like it's back to year one of a new group for the QAS in terms of they have lost a lot of players. You mentioned Jonty Fisher and Tully Heatley have gone to Brisbane City as well, and also Ella O'Grady's gone down to Melbourne Victory. She was a big part of the attack, and Shelby McMahon, who I think was going to be a big part of the QAS, she's off to Melbourne City. It was recently announced. So there are some big losses for that group, and there's definitely going to be some young, talented players coming through into this team. At this point in time, we don't pay a lot of attention to the under-23s, men's or women's, so we're not really sure who's coming through for the QAS. But as the season gets underway, I'm sure there'll be a very, very young and energetic group of players looking to test themselves at this level. And I think we've seen at their best in QAS, they're always going to be a tough match for everybody. And I don't think that's going to change this year, regardless of the fact it's probably going to be a newer group.
Yeah, in terms of... Sorry, just before you go, Adam, following on from what Scott was saying, in terms of the value of the QAS program, some of the best games I've called of theirs have been when they've been going up against the eventual trophy winners. I remember it was the final game of the 2020 season. Gold Coast United were expected to cruise to a comfortable win, and the QAS gave them everything they could handle on the day before United eventually ran over the top, as good teams do. And they also put Lions under plenty of pressure in the last couple of years as well. So you can watch the QAS and know that they're liable to just cause massive headaches for opponents at pretty much any given time.
Yeah, especially Lions. QAS matches up, and for a number of seasons, have always matched up well, and always, I guess I'm going to say half the time, because there's been a couple of lopsided results, but there's also been a couple of times where QAS has really taken it to Lions. And look, I think, again, whoever sort of they come through, obviously the talent ID, the best young players in the state. I think once they sort of gel the team and whatnot, and raw talent sort of gets through, I think they'll be okay. I think that from a results wise, I think they're just gonna be just there. But I think Liz Doherty and Asaka Cernak will have a really good team going. If not this season, but next season. But there is one name that I want everyone to watch very carefully, and that's Amalie Kinsella. I know her mum's gonna probably kill me for mentioning, putting the wraps on her, because I probably jinxed her. But no, Amalie is a fantastic prospect as a defender, and I think she will only get better. She's still got a couple of years left at least in the program, and I think she's a name not to forget this season for QAS.
Does it count as tapping up if Adam's trying to recruit Amalie to one of the clubs up in his neck of the woods?
Oh, we couldn't afford her.
I think it should, actually.
She's using his political...
I think she's that good. I think...
Duly noted.
Shouldn't the mayor be focused on his re-election campaign anyway, instead of trying to recruit players from Wharton City at this point in time?
Well, look, I know we said we're not going to bring off-air conversations on air, but Adam's exact words were, "It's in the bag." I don't know if that means he's getting his hired goons going around for the election cycle, but anyway.
Of which we need to clarify, James, we are not part of that. We are not a part of that group whatsoever. Just to make it clear.
Anyone who has met Scott or myself in person will know that we are definitely not physically intimidating people.
That is a fact.
All right, let's go to Souths now, and they finished 8th in the NPL Queensland season, but did have a very impressive run in the Kappa Women's Super Cup, where they very briefly led Lions thanks to a ridiculous goal from Shayana Singh, which is still going around on the highlight reels from season 2023. And a couple of departures. Emma Koskin has gone to Capalabar in the FQPL. Jess Watkins, the English attacker, is back with London Bees in her home country. So they've gone to address that by bringing in a couple of notable players. Sarah Bonifant from Lions, and a up-and-coming prospect from up on the range, Abby Lloyd, who I think has got a bit of a decent resume, Scott.
Yes, Abby Lloyd certainly is a very regular goal scorer in the A-League Women's. She's scored a couple of goals in the A-League Women's, but also in the NPL Women's and the FQPL. She's been one of the leading goal scorers here in Queensland for a very long period of time. And I think this South side actually looks okay in terms of the quality they've got. You mentioned those players. They've also got Sonny and Elise Franco back. James Alia DeVerne is back. And they've got a young goalkeeper from the Canberra United Academy, Eliza Evans, who's joining. So they've got some very good young players here building. And that run to the cup final, I know it ended in defeat, but I think it can really help them going forward in this season. If they can find a way to take that form and translate it into the league, I think they'll be okay, actually, South. I think it's always a tough place to go because it's the synthetic pitch and it's different to everywhere else in the competition. That does give them a bit of an advantage, but I think they've got a decent little squad there. If they can keep everyone fit and healthy, I think they could be a team that you look at as someone more towards the middle than the bottom.
I think they have nightmare potential. Like, I've spoken to a couple of coaches doing prep for matches there, and I kind of, yeah, they always say it takes a good 15, 20 minutes to just adapt to the way the synthetic pitch plays, and it just seems like they could be headed for, they'll be the team that will take points off finalists. That's something that I'm expecting from them this season. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, South, notably, the only team to hand Brisbane City a loss during the whole season there in the Kappa Women's Super Cup. So that's certainly something to hang their hat on. I think Abby Lloyd is a fantastic addition to them. I think to replace Jess Watkins as that goal scorer, I think if Abby can find her form, I think she'll be up there in the Golden Boot standings. Sarah Bonifant as well. I'm actually quite surprised that she that for however it transpired for her to be at South. I think she's a very, very good prospect. I think that defensively, I think she'll give a bit of steel. But I think the big challenge for Trent Gregson will be consistency. I think because they can look like world beaters sometimes, South, but they also tend to drop a lot of points from positionation. So if they get that consistency right, from the results, I think they're going to be there and about in a very, very, a very tough and tight league.
Yeah, and yeah, they may continue to put a lot of focus on that Kappa Women's Super Cup now, back to back finals against Lions, and I think that's probably going to be their best chance of silverware this season, because on their day they are going to be a handful for just about anyone. Now for everyone's favourite road trip. In the other nine clubs, Sunshine Coast Wanderers. Every time I see a team going up there, I was like, hey, let's have a fun day at Mooloolaba, then we'll go play a game of football. Anyway.
Sounds like a plan when we make our first trip up to the Sunshine Coast this year, actually. Go to Mooloolaba and then head back to Budrum on the way. That sounds like a great day out to me.
Can I just quickly jump in as well? It is one little bugbear. Look, I don't mind only having to drive 10 minutes to the commentary studio. But one thing I do miss about going out to the grounds, aside from the canteens, which Adam fills me in on in great detail every single week, thanks to his Instagram. But I keep joking. I really should go up and see my family. I'll do it when I'm commentating a Wanderers home game. I haven't been up the coast for a Wanderers home game in a couple of years now. But anyway, four announced re-signings by the Wanderers thus far. Daisy Lurens, the goalkeeper, Tiani Weber, Teal Danger, and Chelsea Scarfe. I'm sure they will have more than four players come round one, but that is just what has been officially announced thus far. And it is a tough road trip. We've seen a lot of teams go up there, go to Ballinger Park, and go, oh, this is not what I had in mind for a day at the beach, Adam.
Yeah, and if the focus on the visiting teams is to go on the beach day before playing football, I actually think that Sunshine Coast Wanderers are going to surprise. I truly believe that. I think they have got a very, very good young crop of players coming up. Those re-signings that you mentioned, Teal Danger, Daisy Lurens, and Chelsea Scarfe, I think are fantastic players who are probably going to drive that team. Tiani Weber, another one of those four, and I'm not sure if it's been announced, but having Louise Rolfe back as well, if she's back as well, I think she has that experience as well. Same with Beck Horsey as well. If she's back again, we'll have to get that confirmed there. Back playing side, but they are, I think, especially going to Ballinger, I think a bit like their men's team. If Fortress Ballinger holds up, and they can win a few games on the road, I think they're going to be there and about. So I'd really sort of, you know, watch them. And I think, at the moment, I think Daisy Lurens is probably the best keeper in the league.
Scott?
very good goalkeeper, and Adam's right, it's a good mix between youth and experience. The young players have been announced as being retained, as you mentioned, James. If they do have Louise Rolfe and Beck Horsey in the squad still, that experience in the group is really important when you've got a young group, and I think if they are there to help guide this team, and also the goals that Louise Rolfe has scored in this competition shouldn't be underestimated, both with Thunder and then now with Sunshine Coast Wanderers. It makes a big difference. And if she's there, I think this is a team that's very much a mid-table contender. I agree with what Adam said. They're going to be a very, very tough out for teams every single week, particularly up there, given it is the longest road trip in the NPL Women's. And I think they are going to be a very competitive side once again. They have been every year in this competition, James. I see no reason to suggest why 2024 will be any different.
For sure. All right. Now, do we want to do the predictions quickly or just go through the
Nah, save them for the end.
Okay, we'll move on to FQPL 1 Women, and there is a bit less information available thus far from the club. So we're going to do this a little bit differently and say, let's talk about the promotion race. So our understanding at the time of recording on February 5, so we are happy to be corrected if this isn't accurate, but one automatic promotion spot, one playoff promotion spot, as far as we're aware, in FQPL 1. And it will be the one automatic relegation spot and one automatic playoff relegation spot in that as well.
One up, one down, and then playoffs for the second top and second bottom.
I'm so glad you can translate James into English, by the way, Scott.
I've been learning. It's taken a long time, but I finally got there.
8 years?
Yeah, I'll write a book on for people how to interpret James speak. It's fine.
For sure. All right. Well, the big story for FQPL 1 is the double division advancement of Gold Coast Knights after they absolutely destroyed the FQPL 3 South Coast competition last year. They just decided, in the interest of everyone, with clubs merging, realigning, going elsewhere, it was just better to put Knights straight up into FQPL 1. And yes, I get there might be some consternation about that, but I think this was the only decision that could have been made in this instance. What about you, Adam?
I believe that this is the right decision. Yes, sometimes you want to follow protocol, but this is the exception to the rule. No one benefits from Gold Coast Knights going around absolutely mauling what would have been FQPL 2 Women's this season. Putting them up at FQPL 1, it makes this competition a hell of a lot stronger, and also makes FQPL 2 women a lot better and more even competition. So, look, congratulations to Football Queensland for at least, you know, looking at common logic and saying, you know what, this is a team that is good enough to be playing in FQPL 1. Let them be there and let them, because I think they're not going to have their own way. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, and especially with Gary French assembling a squad for FQPL 3 that had, I think, just gone to NPL semi-finals the year before, like, by and large, with South and the Kappa Women's Super Cup final. They were too good for it as well, and it really, I think you're basically just watching to see at what point did they reach double digits in most of their games as well. So, it's Gold Coast Knights. I feel like with...
Sorry, and FQPL 2 would have been no different either. I know it's a step up, but it wouldn't have been much different from Gold Coast Knights.
When you had
this does challenge
when
them.
You had clubs allegedly, and I'll use the word allegedly, forfeiting games in FQPL 3 Women's to get a better result by the walkover than actually play them. I think, you know, you've got a problem in strength and depth. And they only really played with 14, 15 players, but that starting lineup was as good as any. And it took, their only loss this year, like last year, was against Mitchelton in the Women's Super Cup, which, again, that went to extra time. And I think it was a case of they ran out of legs, because when you only play with 14, 15 players, they were just way too strong. So we welcome them into FQPL 1.
Yes, and we should just clarify as well. I'll put on my pretend lawyer hat, just pretend that I'm Denny Crane, and say that was Adam that made the joking comment.
And I said allegedly. And I said allegedly. Yes, I'm not casting aspersions, so...
Not at all serious.
Honest opinion.
Yes, and this is also where I put my journalism qualified hat on and say Adam was making an opinion,
honest opinion.
Yes.
On a more serious topic, having Gold Coast, Broadbeach and Robina in this same league here gives you the derbies down the Gold Coast this year could be really, really interesting. The Broadbeach Robina derbies last year were pretty good given the fact that they were fighting it out for finals football at the end of the season. Adding Gold Coast Knights into that mix down there on the Gold Coast could make things very, very interesting down there, given I think those three sides will be pretty good this year as well. So could be some very interesting FQPL football down there on the Gold Coast this year.
Indeed. All right, let's go through team by team. We've already kind of covered a bit of Gold Coast Knights, and they haven't actually officially announced anyone anyway. So let's start with Broadbeach. They're announcing new signing is Amy Langworthy, formerly of Gold Coast United, and a handful of new players back under Chris Soto's stewardship. Nadine Keast, Liz Charleston, Joy Forsyth, no shortage of experience, and they'll be definitely in the mix for promotion once again in 2024, Scott.
They were the third place last year, and they were very, very competitive on the field, so I think they are going to be right there in the mix again this year, Broadbeach. So they have added strong with Amy Langworthy up front, and I think they're going to be a strong contender for promotion this year.
Yep, and their main promotion rivals, because I'm just going to do this in blocks now as well. So we've got Capalaba and Knights, and Thunder, I think, are going to be they're the ones that I'm sort of looking at. So I'm just very conscious of time as well. So I'll say those are the four contenders in my mind for promotion. What are you looking at with Capalaba, Adam?
I think that it's a rebuilding phase for Capalaba, and I think that the young players, I think it's going to be basically the young players that play under 23s last year in MPL will carry the bulk of that side. They've got some very, very, very good young players there. So I think they may be raw talent alone and familiarity playing the side might get them, you know, in the top half of the table.
Absolutely. If Brittany Lasick is back there at Capalaba as well, then she scored a lot of goals in the FQPL previously as well. So her experience in the front third at this level could be the player who leads the line and delivers the goals that gets Capalaba right back into the discussion to returning to the MPL the first time of asking. I think a lot of people are overlooking Capalaba because in the men's program 12 months ago they fell away and then they got relegated and then they weren't overly competitive at the top end last year in FQPL1 men's, and people think, oh, same will happen in the women's. It's very, very different. This FQPL Capalaba women's team is very good, and I think they're going to be right there at the business end of the season with the clubs you mentioned, James, in terms of fighting it out for either that promotion spot or that playoff game.
Yeah. Gold Coast Knights haven't officially announced anybody. I haven't seen anything for Ipswich Knights either.
Okay. No, but they're very, very stable for the last couple of years, so I expect it to be largely the same.
Logan, I think they're just starting to put their announcements out now. I've seen a couple coming up.
Mandalay Bay's back, so that's some goal scoring potential there. They're American striker, so yeah, if he can get some help as far as both creativity and also as well, you know, another goal scorer. I think Logan, I think be there and about. Consistency is a big issue for them.
Yep. Now, Mr. Mayor, we'll go over to your newly branded Moreton City Excelsior Club. What's going on?
Not much change from last season. They did finish in bottom of FQPL1 last year, but the expansion of the leagues that sort of they saved and they're back in FQPL1. They're a work in progress. Roughly the same side, but with Moreton City, they have got a long line of young players coming through. If they can somehow, again, if talent can get them through and at least get them sort of, you know, mid-table, I think, you know, going forward the next couple of years, I think that they will be sort of a bigger threat as far as results-wise go. But I think at the moment, very young squad still, they're more a long-term project.
All right, Scott, I feel like we would just be stepping on Adam's election campaign. So what do you say? Go through North Lakes, because they've got a few interesting little acquisitions to boost their campaign this season. Emily Adams, the goalkeeper from Mitchelton, Lorena Maggio from City, and a few familiar names if you've been following NPL for quite a while, including Tegan Van Vegschel and Keo Yamamuro as well.
yeah, this is a side that should not be underestimated in terms of this competition this year. They were very strong last year, won the race with Caboolture in FQPL2 last year to get promotion, and Anthony Costa has added to this squad once again. They look like they could be an absolute dark horse contender, James. I think some people think they might just take a year to establish themselves in FQPL1. If it wasn't for the fact that Gold Coast Knights, I think, are going to go right through the leagues this year, I think North Lakes are another team who are going to be right there in terms of the squad they've got, because as you said, there's plenty of players who've played in the NPL in this group. There's also plenty of players who've been very successful in the FQPL1. He mentioned Tegan Van Vechtel. She was the leader of that Peninsula Power team that made it all the way to the grand final and won the premiership. Emily Adams, I think, was in goal for Virginia and Mitchelton in this competition. So there's players who perform very well in this competition, and they are going to be at the very least a mid-table side, and they could be a dark horse contender for those promotion places if things fully click for them this year.
Yeah, it's certainly one to watch as well. And I think Mariel Hecker from the Raw has some sort, or had some sort of coaching or ambassador.
I was going to say, she's not signing from this year. That would be a story you're breaking.
No, definitely not that. But I just remember there was something about her being a club ambassador or something.
She works up in God's country, so it wouldn't be surprised if she does have some sort
you
of connection
the door,
with North Lakes. So.
Yeah, and if that's wrong, sorry, Mariel. Speaking of God's country, Southwest Queensland Thunder, a couple of departures, Abby Lloyd and Lucy Major, but they've pretty much retained the rest of the main parts of that squad that went to the grand final last season, while promoting a handful of young under-23s players to full-time senior contracts. I think all we can really say about Thunder is they're too good to be bad. They're going to be competitive once again. And I think they'll just be hoping that they don't get buzzsawed towards the end of the season like Brisbane City did to them last year as well. Although, again, Brisbane City did that to every freaking team last year.
And this is what Thunder do as well, is that they do basically retain as much of the squad as they can, and they replace from within their the FQ Darlings Downs League in terms of the young talent that they can find. They don't tend to bring in a lot of players from the outside from down here in the Brisbane area. So it'll be a Toowoomba-based team. And as you said, they're always competitive in this FQPL competition. And they were the best of the rest last year, apart from Brisbane City, by a fair margin in the end. So I do think that they will be a contender again this year, although the losses they have will impact them.
One exception to the rule with Thunder bringing, they brought in Malcravat Hawks and the FQPL2 Golden Boot winner Tash Ridley into that squad. So they, like I say, if she can fire, I think that they can at least match the output that Abby Lloyd had. But I think that to me is a big loss. Her and Lucy Major, I think, were two mainstays of that side. It's got, like I said, Lana Harker's back, which I think is fantastic. She is an absolute legend of the game and in women's football. I think that she provides that experience. I just don't know that losing, and I don't know if Melanie Lloyd is back as well, who's a big part of that drive.
She is.
Too far. She is. So I think, yeah, I think if Ridley can match what Abby Lloyd did last year, I think that they will be there and about again. But they are very, as a unit, they're a very, very good side.
Scott, Ridley was on the team sheet yesterday, was she?
Yes, they play their game against the FQ Darling Downs All-Stars. I don't know what the result was, but yeah, it looks like a very, very strong side up there. Very similar looking team to their grand final side, a lot of familiar names, so I think they're going to be a very strong contender again this year.
All right, and the last team in FQPL Women's that we'll be touching on is Virginia, and I'm going to be completely honest, I have not been able to find any signing announcements, so we're not really going to be able to say too much other than Anna Hirakara has gone to Penn Power.
They are the forgotten club in the FQPL, aren't they, though? Because they were very competitive last year. I think they won the race to get fourth place in the league last year, from memory, in terms of the battle for fourth. That was very, very hard fought between them, Logan and Rabina. They did get that. So they are the forgotten club in this competition, and they have lost some players, but I think they're going to be another year in that mid-table area.
Fair enough. Adam, have you got anything more to add before we go on to predictions?
No, I just think, yeah, Virginia, look, you never know what you can get with them, but they do have some, they normally do churn out some good young players. Again, consistency as far as results always has hurt them over the years. I can't see it changing this year again, especially in a much tougher league than it has been the past few years.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we said we're going to give our season predictions for these top two divisions, and we're going to lead off by giving a now annual disclaimer on these previews as well, and say these are based on the information that we've been able to ascertain from the club accounts. So if, for instance, we have an incident like, was it 2019 or 2020?
It was 2020 with
South. Yeah, where they hadn't announced any signings, so I picked them to finish last, and they wound up finishing fifth because they actually had a really good squad. We just didn't know about it when we recorded. So, a lot can change between now and, hell, Friday night. But we're going to give our predictions for both divisions, starting with FQPL1. And I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to go first.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Great. We're keeping the same order for the NPL, so you're going first then.
Fine
as well.
Fine by me. All right, I'm going to say FQPL1, Ipswich Knights 10th, Moreton City 9th, Virginia 8th, Logan 7th, Robina City 6th, North Lakes 5th, Thunder 4th, Capalabar 3rd, Broadbeach 2nd, and Gold Coast Knights in 1st place, and securing that automatic promotion spot. Adam?
Okay, my predictions. In 10th, Ipswich Knights. 9th, Moreton Bay. 8th, Logan. 7th, Robina. 6th, Virginia. 5th, Southwest Queensland Thunder.
Ooh.
4th, North Lakes. 3rd, Capalabar. Gold Coast Knights, 2nd. And I think Broadbeach are going to win the league. But I will put the disclaimer, that's 5-4. It's very, very difficult to split those top five teams. It's a top five, bottom five, is my feeling on this FQPL1 Women's League this year.
I had 6-4, so there we go. Scott, what's your predictions?
It was 5-4 for me as well, but in terms of the table, 10th, Ipswich Knights, 9th, Moreton City Excelsior, 8th, Logan Lightning, 7th, Virginia United, 6th, Robina City, 5th, then just missing out for me, North Lakes United, 4th, Southwest Queensland Thunder, 3rd, Broadbeach, 2nd, Capalabar, and I have Knights winning the competition. I just think they were so strong last year, and it sounds like they've only added, so I think they're going to be there again.
I will defend myself and say, just on my reasoning, why I've got Gold Coast Knights in 2nd, and obviously, with your disclaimer about we don't know information, I don't know if they can do what they did last year and have 16 players in the squad in this league. If they've signed a number of other players and filled out that squad, then yeah, I do feel as though they can win it. But I think they may run out of legs, and I think Broadbeach might be the better squad. But clearly, as far as the actual players on side, Gold Coast Knights have got, you know, stars all over the park.
Fair enough. All right, now the NPL Women's Season Preview. I'm going to put QAS in 10th, not because of anything other than just I only know the departures as it stands. I've got Souths in 9th, Olympic in 8th, Wanderers in 7th, Mitchelton in 6th, Brisbane City 5th, Penn Power 4th, Easts 3rd, Gold Coast United 2nd, and Lions take out the Premiership because, well, what did I say 45 minutes ago? It's a Rob Askew side. Scott?
No, it's Adam.
Oh, same order.
I just wanted to see if you'd go.
Oh. Nope. Okay. Nope. All right, so my predictions for NPL Women's is Olympic in 10th, QAS in 9th, Mitchelton 8th, Peninsula Power 7th, Sunshine Coast 6th, South 5th, and then call me crazy, Lions in 4th, Gold Coast United in 3rd, City in 2nd, and I think East will win the Premiership. But yeah, the top four, I think, are a very, very strong top four. I honestly think that there are 6-7 teams that could potentially be in those finals places.
You're crazy. Scott?
You are crazy, and I guess I'll be the one covering Lions games this year with that prediction, Adam. All right, I'll stop lying. 10th, Olympic, 9th, QAS, 8th, Sunshine Coast, 7th, South, 6th Mitchelton, 5th Peninsula Power, 4th Brisbane City, 3rd Gold Coast, and then going down to the last day, 2nd East Lions in 1st by the barest of margins.
All right. There we go. We will put those predictions out as a graphic. I've already sent mine through to the group chat, so enjoy that.
Thank you.
It's a screenshot of my monitor at home, so good luck with that. All right, well, that's pretty much it. Do we want to do Golden Boot predictions? I'm going to say D Quirk. I'm trying to think of something a little different as well, because I feel like it should be Golden Boot with Tegan Riding not involved.
NPL Women, yeah. I think Steph Latham. She won't win by the length of the straight like she did last year, but I think even if she scores 50% of the goals that she did last year, I think that she will be. It'll still be enough to win. Tegan Riding's always going to be up there, as far as I'm concerned.
Scott?
Putting the league's all-time goalscorer aside, I'll go for Sophie Purcell.
Just the other one, big threat.
Yeah, well, look, those are the top four in terms of picks, without a doubt. And that is going to be it for this edition of the Brisbane Football Review. But before we get on to that, I'm just going to quickly grab my notes from yesterday, because I have the round one NPL women's schedule written down somewhere. So Friday night, Lions Brisbane City, 8:30 p.m. It is, I believe, the second edition of the Women's Football Foundation Cup. Saturday, Penn Power Mitchelton, 4 p.m. QAS Sunshine Coast Wanderers at 5, and then simultaneous Sunday, South's Gold Coast United at 5 p.m. and Olympic East's at 5 p.m. as well. And Scott and Adam will be back to review it all on season 4 of NPL Sunday? Season 4 of NPL?
Sounds about right.
Near enough. It's close enough. all right, and we will say we are very much looking forward to a massive FQ season as well. We'll get onto those interviews and release those as a standalone show at some point as well. We do thank the clubs for getting back to us. We do apologise for being slightly disorganised, but this is a stupidly busy time of year. Just all around. We'll be back with our regular Brisbane Football Review next week, and in a couple of weeks, I think on the 19th, we're recording our NPL Men's Mega Season Preview, where we'll go through all the 12 clubs in the Men's, 12 clubs in the FQPL 1 Men's, and try to keep it as concise as possible, because, well, even we're getting sick of our own voices by this stage. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Get out to the grounds this weekend and enjoy the local football, because there is a whole lot of entertainment on offer this season. I'm looking forward to bringing you all the action through the commentary. Scott and Adam are looking forward to covering it through the social times. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the season.